Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. Back to Brady and Walker. On TV at Sportsnet 360. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Listen, do you want to talk Plinko or do you not want to talk Plinko? Do you want to talk about the, what's it called, the Avalanche game with the yodeling? I don't even know. It's amazing how some of those Price is Right games come into rotation and go out of rotation. And the wheel's still the same. Quick straw poll. If the Blue Jays make the wild card game and lose it, what? I'm not being negative. They're making it. Jeez, if I was being negative, I'd say, what happens when they're 83-79 and they miss the playoffs? I'm not. Can they hang a AL wildcard participant banner? The strong and only answer for people over the age of 12 is no. You can't. Can't hang a wildcard banner. But you're in the playoffs. You're in the playoffs. You cannot hang a banner. Those losers, the Indianapolis Colts, are putting up, what, AFC championship participant? And then because of Deflategate, they probably are doing that more than anything. To tweak the New England Patriots. So it's Kansas City in town for four. Minnesota next week. And then the New York Yankees don't come to town until August 13th. 13 games left between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have acquired the best arm out there on the market, David Price. Alex Anthopoulos, top of the hour at 3 o'clock. Definitely earning early afternoon, late morning wages this week. Again, invoice accordingly is Sportsnet's own Shai Davidi, who will attend his third news conference at the Rogers Center before 4 o'clock this week. Let's hope there's a really minor transaction tomorrow and we can go 4 for 5. Shai is joining us now from the Rogers Center. Again, this is a 24-hour news cycle. It's also a 24-hour news conference cycle this week, Shai.
Apparently so, yeah. It's really been a remarkable transformative type of week for the Blue Jays. We haven't seen them make this type of really big deal. I mean, I guess you could say Esteban Loaiza back in 2000, whenever that was, the ill-fated Esteban Loaiza deal, although David Price is about 500 times the pitcher he ever was. So it's really an interesting move by the Blue Jays. I mean, clearly the opportunity is here. And, you know, there's a strong feeling within the organization that, hey, you can keep on deferring and playing it safe, but at some point you got to go for it. And given the offense this year, certainly a pretty good case to go for it this year.
Shai Davidi joining us on Brady and Walker. Alex Anthopoulos, top of the hour. Shai will be there obviously for that. Yeah, I agree with where you're at. It's got an inherent risk to it for a 51-51 team. And that said, some people have linked it to the David Cohn deal. The Cohn deal was later in the season and the Jays had a 5-6 game lead in the AL East and they were defending AL East champions. This isn't that, is it? This is about getting into the playoffs. Maybe it's just the wild card, but you're right. It makes it much more of a dice roll than for than the David Cohn deal ever was.
Sure, and they were trying to hold off the Milwaukee Brewers that year, if you remember. Mm-hmm. The Brewers were pushing hard. What was really interesting is you talked to Paul Molitor about that deal in retrospect, and he was with the Brewers at that time before he signed with the Blue Jays, and he said that the fact that the Blue Jays went out and got Cohn was so deflating for that team, because it was that point, it was an August deal, it was a waiver deal, so much more complicated to make that trade at that point in time. So, you know, it was interesting in that regard. But, you know, they're 2 games out in the wild card chase. The Minnesota Twins are fading. There are some teams that are behind them that may or may not last in it. So you figure that they've got a very good chance at the wild card. And, you know, the Yankees have been playing probably their peak baseball over the last few weeks, and they've opened up a 7-game lead. The Jays picked up a game last night. But the team still have 13 games head-to-head, and if Price can start 2 or 3 of those and maybe win those for you, all of a sudden it's a pretty interesting situation.
Yeah, they'll have to do great head-to-head. And just Jeff Blair noted earlier, Michael Pineda scratched from his start tonight against, ironically, Yovani Gallardo, who was rumored this morning maybe to be in the mix for the Toronto Blue Jays. But tightness in the right forearm, and Michael Pineda's had a bit of an injury history, so that's not great for the Yankees, who are 6 games up right now in Baltimore, 7 on Toronto. Give me a read on the departure of Daniel Norris, of Norris and Boyd. Did Norris not fell out of favor is strong, but the organization didn't view him maybe as the same prospect as some other pitchers to be in the rotation long term, like an Osuna, and certainly like a Hoffman who was dealt in the Tulowitzki deal.
Well, I think it might also be an issue where maybe he might not time with this current group, mm-hmm. right? If he maybe needs to go through a few more refinements and he's not able to contribute this year and maybe he's not ready to contribute earlier into the middle of next season, then he's not helping you at a point in time when you really need the help. So at that point, do you think, well, maybe we can sacrifice him at this point to get the help that we need? And remember, this isn't just anybody. And I think that this is pretty much the only rental pitcher the Blue Jays would pay this type of price for. No pun intended, because, yeah. I mean, David Price is, quite frankly, a top five, if not top three pitcher in the game right now. You know, I mean, certainly he's as good as anybody not named Greinke right now, or Kershaw. So, you know, they're getting the best of the best. That's part of the opportunity cost here that the Blue Jays would evaluate. In terms of Matt Boyd, I think he's probably a guy. You know, I don't know that the upside there is particularly high. So I think they can give him away. The one issue it does create is that right now the Blue Jays basically have very minimal help at AAA Buffalo should something happen. So, you know, you're looking at a Scott Copeland or Randy Wolf or Jeff Francis. I mean, those are the next lines of defense if something happens to the current group. So the depth is still an issue, mm-hmm. which is why I wonder if they still may have a move in them for someone like an Ian Kennedy.
They are probably, Shai Davidis joining us from the Rogers Center on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, probably some relief that, and I know we just had Jamie Samuelson on from 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. I think the Tigers fans back this move. There's been a lot of playoff games. The right move is to deal Price. The right move is probably to deal Jonas Cespedes before tomorrow at 4 p.m. He expressed disappointment that Anthony Alford wasn't included in this deal. I guess Jays fans should feel relief that an Anthony Alford, who's been very good at High A Dunedin this year, is not in this deal as well, that they escaped doing this again, even though there's inherent risk and there's no guarantee of result this year, to not give up a position player, be it a Pentecost, be it an Alford, even a Pompey. They kept position players out of the mix here.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember that there's still time before the deadline passes, so I'm not saying that the Blue Jays are for sure going to do something else, but you know, the way things have gone, I wouldn't rule it out at this point. So something could still happen in that regard. But certainly Anthony Alford is a guy whose industry value has skyrocketed mm-hmm. this year. I mean, he had, I think it was less than 50 professional at-bats, at least on this side of the pond. Prior to this year, he went to Australia during the offseason because he'd been playing college football, and that spent most of his time there. So this is his first year fully devoted to baseball. And the thing beyond the production that's really impressed people is the strike zone discipline, the ability to select the pitches that he wants to hit and go after those pitches. It's a maturity of approach that really belies his experience. And if they can get him enough at-bats, that he has a chance to maybe rocket through the system fairly quickly. So he's certainly a guy that a lot of teams would want to target, and the Blue Jays would be certainly reluctant to give up.
So let's talk about Alex. You know, it's funny, Jeff Blair, I can't remember if you were on with him. I heard the whole segment the other day, and Jeff said, doesn't feel like it's a GM managing for his job. And Jeff and I were giggling about that. I'm like, well, it feels more like it today, whether it's true or not. But does this feel more like it's something that stabilizes Alex Anthopoulos? It's a really popular move among fans, and anytime you get a superstar, it is. So he's made three incredibly popular moves among the fan base since November: Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Price. Will it still be results-oriented as to whether Alex Anthopoulos is the general manager here next year or not?
That's a good question, and really, I wonder if that picture is evolving, and a lot of it, I think, will depend on what happens with the next president of this team. You know, is it going to be someone who's going to take a different outlook on what's gone on here, or is it someone who's going to see what's been established within the current core and say, yeah, we got to keep pushing with this current group, we believe in this group, and I think there are a lot of big picture questions that still remain for this franchise. You know, it starts with who replaces Paul Beeston as president, then it goes on to Alex Anthopoulos and whether he gets extended or not. Then beyond that, it's what do you do with Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion beyond 2016? You know, do you try to extend them? Do you try to move them for different assets? There are a lot of issues for this team that still are unresolved. But I think clearly what we're seeing right now is that they're living for the moment. The focus is on 2015, and everything else will resolve itself once things play out.
Before you go, let's assume for just a second, regardless of what could be a great result this year, it could be disappointing, it could be somewhere in the middle with how this all works out over the last 60 games and potential playoffs. The rotation for next year and how it scopes out has changed. Maybe the average fan doesn't care. The diehard fan really does. The diehard fan talks about prospects, talks about retaining money. Does it make it more likely, and Jeff brought this up, to keep an option on R.A. Dickey? R.A. Dickey's play has improved. His outings have improved over the last couple months. $12 million option for him next year with some names going out the door in the last couple weeks that they might have wanted to include Shy in next year's rotation. Does it make it more likely this isn't R.A. Dickey's last Toronto Blue Jays season?
It's a great question, and certainly there's a lot of value in that option. I mean, $12 million for 200 relatively quality innings, and probably end up in and around a four and change ERA. I mean, that's a pretty reasonable price, and it's a guy that you know. And, you know, I think the Blue Jays believe that they're, if team faces the pitcher following R.A. Dickey, as long as it's the same team in the same series, there's a residual effect to what it does to the hitters the next day. So you factor all those things together, you can understand why that potential is there. But I think bigger picture, if you look at it, I mean, as things stand right now, the guys you can count on being here are Hutchison, Stroman, and then you're looking at Sanchez, Osuna, and beyond that, it's a lot of questions. So
could Sanchez move could he move to a starting rotation next year?
Maybe. I think you have to look at both him and Osuna as potential starters, mm-hmm. but there's no guarantee that one or both of them would succeed in that. And at that point, you're also depleting your bullpen. So there are a lot of questions with that rotation, and it's really going to need a lot of work. The other thing I wonder, too, is that does this help the Blue Jays take a run at David Price if they move off the five-year max contract rule and you have 2 months to kind of sell him on the merits of Toronto? If you're competitive financially, all of a sudden maybe you got a better shot at re-signing him. So I think you put all those factors together. This is an interesting move with Price because he's certainly a guy you'd want to keep if you could and everything else fit. And there's going to be a need and there's going to be a lot of free agent pitchers. So maybe this makes Toronto a bit more appealing to him.
Now remind me the rule because I think you'll know it. And I thought I did, but I know you'll know it. The Jays don't get a compensatory draft pick if Price is elsewhere. The Tigers would have had they hung on to him like the Jays did with Burnett when he left, but the Jays will not, right?
Right. Any player traded in midseason is not eligible for a compensatory draft pick. And that's the other thing that'll help David Price's free agency is that mm-hmm. the Jays can't put a qualifying offer on him. So any team that wants to ante up, they won't have to worry about surrendering a draft pick.
Great stuff, Shai. Hey, listen, can you make an Andrew Cashner news conference tomorrow, like around 12:15? One is that what? Don't want to take away your lunchtime for a four straight day, but is that okay?
Yeah, I'll pull some strings. You send over some food, all right? And we'll call it even at that.
Yeah,
point.
There was a lot of celebration in the hallway today, and I think there's a lot of pizza, but it's awfully inconvenient for you to come up for a couple slices and then go back down there. I know how it goes sometimes.
Can you hook us up with something a little bit better than pizza, you know?
That's what I was thinking. Well, no, because they've absorbed
high quality wings, I don't know.
$7.1 million of David Price's contract. I'm worried about you, me, everybody now. The bottom, you know, we got our fingers crossed it's not coming off our checks in the next 2 months. I hope not.
Yeah. Well, I think there's an opportunity for him to help make back some of that money.
I think so. Yeah, 50,000 paying 80 bucks average price a ticket for a couple games in October sounds great to all of us. Thank you so much for doing this, and we'll have you on real soon.
Be well, Greg.
Shai Davidi joining us, Sportsnet's own from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Coming up in a little bit, Scott Miller will join us, national MLB columnist. You hear him on SiriusXM MLB Network as well, and he's out of San Diego, named by the Germans, of course. It's not. I thought that part of Anchorman was true. Our number is 416-870-0590, *590. We'll go back to Alex Anthopoulos at 3 o'clock and hear from him. But we've got a couple moments for phone calls on this. Tell us what constitutes a successful season now for the Toronto Blue Jays. 416-870-0590. Has it gone for you from making the postseason? Get in the damn playoffs for the first time since 1993. Two, you're going to have to win that wild card game. You're going to have to slate out that wild card game and say, this is a must win for success. Everybody defines success a little bit differently. in sports and in other realms. I feel like now that's where we are. If this is indeed a strict rental, I believe it to be that way. Things can surprise me, that's for sure. I'm surprised they acquired David Price because there were the couple myths of, hey, can they take on more payroll? Well, yes, they can. Will Alex Anthopoulos go after a rental? Yes, he will. Is this a really important acquisition for Alex Anthopoulos' future? He wants to win, too. Let's not mince words. He wants to win. Everybody wants to win. It's been way too long since they have won. The caller who mentioned earlier, Kansas City is going to make it to the postseason twice since 1985. You've got 29 other teams, some of whom have been in multiple World Series, multiple American League Championship Series, over and over again. And what's the one team? The Expos moved to Washington. Boom, playoff appearances, great players, future Hall of Famers. And the Jays often seem, though they have had a few future Hall of Famers, the Jays seem to often be on the outside looking in. Obviously, never winning more than 88 games. Obviously, not hosting playoff games. And yeah, you're in the playoffs. I got it. You're in the playoffs if you're the second wild card. It's not going to be enough now, is it? It's okay to push in and say, now my expectations are higher. Now you got to make it to the ALDS. You got to give us home games. You have to give us a series. You have to line up a pitching rotation and give three or four games, including the moment that team takes the field. I've never been to a playoff game in Toronto. I've been to the World Series three times in my life. World Series games three times. Never been to a home playoff game at Exhibition Stadium. God, I wanted to cut out of ninth grade so badly and go to I think it was game two against the Royals after Dave Steve won game one. But couldn't make it happen, couldn't get tickets. What are you going to do? You're 14. How many connections do you have when you're 14? But I've never been at one, and many of you listening have. And you know what it's like. You know what it's like at Rogers Center to watch a team sprint out of the dugout and go to their positions. It's not like it will be tonight. It's not like it is opening day. It's not like it is September 20th if you're a game in the wild card or a game out, okay? I've only ever seen it on television. Many of you are too young. Some of you who listen to the station, we love you guys in your early to late 20s. You don't know anything about it. It's a story. It's a fairy tale. It's not even a reality show. It's myth. It's fiction that it ever happened. All you can do is believe the videotape. You may get to experience that with the David Price deal. And I'll say again, I'm not sure I do this deal. I lean more towards not doing it than doing it. But I understand the need to do it. It's just something that has a tremendous risk value to it at 51 and 51. If you're 55 and 47, yes. 59 and 41, hell yes. You know, we can keep adding up the win total, and it makes it more obvious to do this move. Daniel in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Daniel.
Bother Mike Wilner all the time. This is why pitching wins championships. Number two, you know, if you think that he's a rental, if the Jays win and they go past the first round of the playoffs or the wild card round, then they may have a chance of keeping him. But this is what it's all about. I mean, I grew up in a world where we watched two World Series, and it was a pure pleasure.
Yeah.
We want to see a wins in Toronto. We want to see a team win. We want to see a championship. And this is what this move is about. I couldn't be happier as a Jays fan. You can talk about young prospects all the time, but this is what's going to bring us a championship, not someone who's, you know, sitting in double A or triple A we haven't seen yet.
So just promise. I agree. Sometimes the itch is worth the scratch. No question about it. If the Jays don't make it to the ALDS and David Price isn't as fantastic as we all hope he is, you won't be, and I'm not going to do this either. You won't be able to call in November and say, this is a deal we shouldn't have made. You're in no matter what. You have to be, right? The team is, so you have to be.
I'm always in no matter what. I mean, these general managers like Anthopoulos, Masai Ujiri, now Lou Lamoriello, are paid to do their job, and they're paid high dollars to do their job correctly. So I trust them. That's why I'm a Toronto sports fan. And if you don't trust them and you question everything that Toronto sports general managers do, then you have another thing coming. You have too many high expectations, and you live in a dream world.
Okay, there's that to consider. Thanks for the phone call, Daniel. And there's no question. Expectations change now with this particular trade. I have a job, and many do it as a hobby, but this is a job to say, this looks like a good deal, this does not look like a good deal. I think there's inherent risk for trading for David Price. I'm glad they did it. It's going to make it fun. It ain't my job on the line if it doesn't work out, but I hope it works out. I hope we have playoff games here. Alex Anthopoulos is that GM. He'll talk at 3 o'clock. Coming up next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. It's Brady and Walker. Y'all, welcome to it. And welcome to Toronto. David Price could make a start Sunday against the Kansas City Royals. Could make it Monday. Or as Frank Gifford used to say, Monday. He's the only person in the world. You're married to Kathleen Gifford. You got enough problems. Monday. It's Monday. Could make it Monday against the Minnesota Twins. The Twins are here following the four-game set against the Kansas City Royals. Either way, it's going to make 11, 12 potential starts, and that 12th start may indeed be an American League wild card game. And a lot of people pointed out, it's absolutely semantical at this point. A lot of people pointed out it's a play-in game to make the American League playoffs. It is. It's a play-in game to make the American League playoffs. It's an organized system. If you tie with the same record, that is to happen. Remember last year, 2 years ago, actually, when Tampa had to go and win, I want to say in Cleveland, or did they win the actual wild card game in Cleveland? Either way, Tampa had to win a play-in game, then win the wild card game, then they went on to the ALDS and got scrubbed out by the Boston Red Sox the year, John Farrell's first year there, and they won the World Series, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not. But either way, David Price is a Toronto Blue Jay. The price to pay, I think we all agree, not as much as many thought it would be. Daniel Norris made 5 starts for the Blue Jays this season, 3.86 ERA. He had a 1.17 whip. Hasn't been as good in 16 starts at Class AAA Buffalo with the Bisons. Lefty Matt Boyd, serviceable in his first start, disastrous in his second start, goes the other way as well. And 21-year-old lefty Gerald Laborte, who was with the Jays at the MLB Futures game during the All-Star break that got minimal coverage. That's just how it goes for the Futures game, unless you've got an absolute stud in that particular game. It's not as high a price as many of us thought it would be. It's certainly something that bolsters the Blue Jays in a way in which, again, I can't think of the last time a team that wasn't leading a division, wasn't 10, 12 games over 500, went out at the deadline and got a player like this. A position, and lost in this is the Troy Tulowitzki transaction, isn't it? It's yesterday's news. It's old hat. Old people use the expression old hat. Pardon me. I'll find something better than old hat. It's the cat's pajamas. There's no question that we're at the point where the Troy Tulowitzki thing seems almost an afterthought, but that did make them better as well. Made them better defensively. You're going to get a little more reliable hitting, and you, at least last night, until Devin Travis does play again, you're probably going to have Troy Tulowitzki as a leadoff hitter. Probably prefers it. Probably a better fit than Josh Donaldson. We'll let you know when we get the lineup tonight, and Alex Anthopoulos may shed some light on when we'll see David Price pitch. Again, there's that option to get him into this to this series against the Kansas City Royals, the best team in the American League, beginning tonight. But you're trying to catch the Twins, and you may not want to reverse the rotation around. Tonight's Danny Duffy, Marco Estrada. Tomorrow night, again, talk about yesterday's news, Johnny Cueto makes his Kansas City Royals debut tomorrow night against Drew Hutchison. Yordano Ventura, Mark Burley on Saturday, and it's Edinson Volquez against someone, likely David Price, because the Jays don't have another starter ready to go, let's be perfectly honest. Mark Burley is going to pitch on Saturday. R.A. Dickey pitched last night. You're either speeding Dickey up, you're getting someone else on this team potentially as a starting pitcher, and then who is out of the rotation would be a great question. I don't like the idea of taking Marco Estrada out of this rotation the way he's pitched. R.A. Dickey has minimal usage coming out of the bullpen, and he's recorded 4 straight quality starts. Mark Burley is not coming out of the rotation, nor should he. It probably falls upon Drew Hutchison, and that's a really intriguing call to make, but with a 5.42 ERA, a player that you simply have had terrible splits with on the road, he's not quite in 2012 Ricky Romero territory, but I just said it and I didn't wince saying it. I kind of wince and have that nervous tick saying untrue things. He's not as bad as Ricky Romero has been in 2012, but he's not been much more reliable since the first few weeks of the season. He had a great start opening day. He had a fantastic start at home here in April. Right now, it's I'm losing my mind trying to think of who it was against. It was he was great against the Baltimore Orioles on April 23rd, and that was a home start. He was very good in a five-inning shutout performance against the Red Sox on May 9th. He had a great start against the White Sox. That's what the one I'm thinking of. Four hits, eight strikeouts, and a complete game win back on May 25th. He hasn't been very good since then. He has not made it to the seventh inning in 10 straight consecutive starts. Drew Hutchinson's not made it to the seventh in 10 straight starts. So it stands to reason there still may be an idea within the Blue Jays front office that even though you went and got David Price, you're only salvaging 11 starts. You need a guy to salvage another 11 or another 12 to make this more of a certainty, more of a sure thing. The Fangraphs website has the Blue Jays as having a 33% chance of making the playoffs. I would guess that's going to get updated. The odds will indeed increase, and they have a better than 33% chance getting in. I called them a long shot yesterday. Yeah, that's what 33% is. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Hey, negative media guy. 33% made sense yesterday. It probably should be upped a little bit, but it's probably not 50%. It's probably not 60%. And that's why this deal has some, kind of inherent risk to it. But it's fun. It's really exciting. It's incredibly exciting. And as we were talking about with Shai Davidi earlier, they make that deal for David Cohn. Cohn made seven starts the rest of the season. They were defending AL East champions. They got bashed in by the Minnesota Twins in 1991. Kirby Puckett hit that home run in the World Series in Game 6. The Twins just decimated the Blue Jays. And let's not forget, that's the first year of Alomar and Carter. The idea of Alomar and Carter in a risky trade for Fred McGriff and Tony Fernandez was this will take us further. It was wrong. It didn't. If anything, they looked further away from advancing in a playoff series because it just looked like the Oakland A's had taken the year off in 1991 and they'd be back better than ever in 1992 and maybe even 1993. And as it was, the Jays upgraded, increased, got your Jack Morris, added other pieces. Olerud was another year older and they were more ready in 1992. Yeah, the A's were a little bit older as well in 1992 to go and grab that win. But there's no question there will be some people that want more here. And I understand the idea of wanting more. Alex Anthopoulos is going to be on this show right after he has his news conference. We're going to send it down to Rogers Center. Jay's starting a four-game set against the Kansas City Royals. The deal consummated at 3 a.m. last night. David Price for three pitchers coming to Toronto, off to Tampa for Matt Boyd, and as well, of course, Daniel Norris. Alex Anthopoulos right now. Let's get there. Sportsnet 590 The Fan down to the Rogers Center. We go.
Acquired him. Firstly, I want to thank Guy Lawrence, Tony Staffieri, Paul Beeston as well. Certainly their support. You can't acquire guys like this. And very exciting day for the organization. And, you know, we feel we added a number one starter and one of the best starters in the game right now. So, again, like I said a few days ago, I think we improved the ball club. And pleased to make this announcement today.
Alex, what changed from Tuesday? Because it kind of seemed you were hesitant to pull a trigger on a deal that could be really for a rental ace. You didn't want to give up prospects or anything too heavy.
Yeah, I don't know that I said that. I still maintain that. I prefer to acquire with players with control. I guess I'd say we prefer because you definitely don't do these things alone. So we definitely – we're always looking to get players with control. The unfortunate part is David Price only has – you know, the remainder of the year under control. So that doesn't mean you walk away from him because there were some other guys. But the opportunity to get a number one starter, we really haven't had a true number one since Roy Halladay was here. And you kind of forget what it was like. It's the innings, the expectation of winning day in and day out. I remember when J.P. Ricciardi was here, every time Halladay would pitch, he'd say, man, we're so good. We're a great team, and Roy Halladay's on the mound. No matter what the club was like, you just felt like you're a great club. And I think getting guys like Price, that type of impact, those one starters, they can make you a great team all by themselves. So he's a winner. He fits what we've been trying to do in terms of character. Even though it's right now he's under contract for a short period, it's going to be great for some of the other guys on the team to be around him as well. So. All those things. First and foremost, ability speaks for itself, but the intangibles as well, great fit for us and very excited.
Hey, Alex, can you take us through the timeline and the framework of how this deal came together?
Sure. I'd stayed in contact with Dave Dombrowski with respect to David Price's availability. I think I checked in with him last week and just asked if he thought he may move him. Please keep me in mind. And at that time, he wasn't prepared to move him. And then I was pretty convinced he was not being traded. And then I'd say yesterday, late afternoon, Dave called. I think he was calling a few clubs. And I know the story broke with respect to the media that he was going to be open to trading Price. So he said he was on a flight to Baltimore, going to meet with his group, and would get back to me at night. So we got done the game, figured it was 11 o'clock, 10:30, no phone call. Probably not happening tonight. I'll wait till tomorrow. And we had some other things we were talking about that we're going to go to the next day. So figured I'd get a nice early night's sleep. And 11:30, he called, threw some concepts at me, just turned around and went back to the office and probably agreed around 3 a.m. and finalized it around noon today.
Alex, have you talked to anybody in the clubhouse about this deal? And what was the reaction? I'm thinking specifically of players when you talked about
I haven't. I think when the story was breaking, obviously, my phone was exploding. I appreciate it, everybody here, with the texts and the phone calls. Man, you guys have a I know it's competitive, but wow. I thought my phone was going to blow up, but I did get a text from Jose Bautista with just, is it true? And I said, yes, and he just wrote yes with about a million exclamation marks. So it was really, really good. So apart from that, I expect the clubhouse to be excited, adding a player like this. Not an easy deal, though. I know you trade three young players, and like I talked about before, when you're trading prospects, you get attached to them. And again, I think our scouts and development staff, they keep producing players, keep finding players. And again, I didn't draft these guys, I didn't scout these guys, I didn't develop them. And they just continue. They always talk about it. They want to give the front office as many assets as they can to try to make deals. And these guys continue to produce that for us, and guys that a lot of clubs want. So they put us in a position to get guys like Price.
Alex, Travis Downers from CP24. What's the likelihood that we could see more movement on the Jays roster before that trade deadline tomorrow?
I don't know at this point. Just because we have until tomorrow, we'll continue to work. We're still talking about some things, but I wasn't optimistic. And look, when we did the Tulowitzki deal, I don't think Price was available. So it wasn't even on the radar. Totally came out of nowhere. But the one thing with Dave is, he's been doing it a long time and he's had a lot of success. No nonsense. When he's ready to go, he's going to go. So you better keep track and keep pace. So if something changes between now and tomorrow, something new, that would be great. Right now we're working on some small things, but we're not close to anything at all.
So you indicated you did this deal in about 3 or 4 hours. In the case of Tulowitzki, you said that there was one player that kind of
moved the
pushed
needle.
Advanced the deal to the end. Was there anything like that in this one? Was there much back and forth?
It started. Yeah, I'd say it was a three-player. Dave again. He's great to deal with because when he says yes or no, it means yes or no, and you can try, which I've tried, to change and this and that and. I've talked to some other GMs about it, too, and you learn everyone's negotiating style, but you appreciate it because he's very straightforward. But started out as a three-player concept, and we haggled over the third player for about 5 hours. And out of respect to the three players, I probably don't want to say.
Alex, you said Tuesday that the Tulowitzki deal was not about going all in. He's under contract to 2020 with David, obviously, he's a free agent at the end of this year. So this seems more of that kind of deal. What prompted that? Was it a matter of just not wanting to waste this offense?
Yeah, I mean, that term gets used all the time, and I know it's convenient. I really dislike the term. I totally don't agree with it. I don't believe you ever operate that way. We're always focused on the short and the long term. We've got a good club. We're two out of the wild card. Obviously, the Yankees have been tremendous this year. We do play them 13 more times. But we have a very good team, and we have enough time. So, look, I would love to acquire David Price with 3 years of control. He didn't get traded from Tampa when he had 3 years of control. And last summer, we didn't seem to line up with them. So And look, he almost was not available this trade deadline. So these type of players, the great superstar players, rarely become available. And again, we had an opportunity to do it. It's more of a reflection on the belief of the guys that we have right now, what we have on the roster. We think we're a good team, and adding a guy like Price, we think makes us that much stronger and will give us a chance to win, as simple as that. And we still feel like we have a ton of young prospects and a ton of young players, and I know a lot of them aren't known, but now they're starting to be known a little bit. I'm reading and hearing about guys like Anthony Alford and Connor Green and Sean Reed Foley, and 2 years ago, no one knows who those guys are when they're drafted. And same way, people didn't know Norris or Boyd. We get to know them because we're around them day in and day out. So, again, I think our scouting department just continues to find players, and development continues to do a great job with them. So we always track what we have left, and we fight to try to keep as many as we can, but our responsibility is to try to win here as well.
Alex, have you talked to Price? If so, what did he say, and what's the timeline for his arrival?
Yeah, I just spoke to him. No timeline yet. I just forwarded his information to our travel, Mike Shaw, and so he's going to get with him. Obviously, he's got time. He's been through it before. A lot of times I do most of the talking, saying I don't expect them to, they probably have, he's at the clubhouse, teammates. Just told him how excited I was. I know he's been through it. I know it's not easy for players to get traded in the middle of the year, but he does seem excited, and that's great. And I think he's going to fit. I think he's going to fit incredibly well with this group, and that's there's a great dynamic in that clubhouse. It just seems like the mix there is very, very good. And look, at the same time, you still need to win games. So I think every team gets better when you add a player like this.
Alex, obviously you feel you're pretty well positioned right now, but in your mind, does David Price make you a favorite to be at least that wild card team with that 2-game deficit, and with 60 games left, does a 7-game deficit in the AL East look a little bit smaller today than it did yesterday?
Yeah, you know what? All fair questions. I'm not that smart, and I can't look that far ahead. I think all these teams are so good, and we all know that things can change. We just want to give ourselves the best position to succeed, give ourselves the best opportunity. The guys in that clubhouse, they deserve it. They've played extremely well. I think we all feel like we're better than what we've shown so far, and this is a move that makes the club stronger. So, but look, the clubs that are ahead of us in the standings, right behind us, the parity in the American League is really incredible to see. So I think everyone's got an opportunity to get hot, and that's what we're going to need. So at this point, trying to give ourselves the best opportunity to get in the playoffs.
You're listening to live coverage of Alex Anthopoulos, Blue Jays general manager, on the acquisition of David Price. As we head back to the Rogers Center on Brady and Walker, Alex will join Brady and Walker before primetime sports. Coming up next on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Qu'est-ce qui change la situation maintenant? Et si ça fonctionne pas avec Price, est-ce que ça va avoir été un prix cher payé pour quelques mois seulement?
Oh, je dirais chaque fois que tu échanges des jeunes joueurs, si c'est pour un autre joueur, que joueur autonome ou un joueur que tu vas avoir pour deux ou trois ans, c'est difficile avec les jeunes joueurs. Mais en même temps, on a confiance avec tous les joueurs qu'on a ici. On a confiance en l'équipe, puis on croit qu'on a une vraiment bonne chance à gagner et se rendre aux séries éliminatoires. Et pour nous, c'est sûr qu'un gars comme Price, j'aimerais qu'il est ici pour deux ou trois ans, ou même plus. Mais en même temps, son contrat, c'est fini à la fin de la saison. Mais on avait une chance d'avoir un lanceur numéro un. Puis c'est rare parce qu'il n'y en a pas beaucoup dans les ligues majeures. Puis comme j'ai dit avant, le dernier lanceur numéro un qu'on avait, c'était Roy Halladay. Puis un gars comme ça, gaucher, Ligue américaine, il va être vraiment bon pour nous.
Alex, if I'm not mistaken, Price's slotted next start is Sunday. Is that where he fits in?
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk about it. Right now, we don't have a starter for Sunday. A guy named TBA was up there, so he could take that spot. But, I mean, maybe it's Monday. We're going to talk about that. We're not locked into that Sunday, but I know that that's his turn. That's the spot we have open, so it makes sense, but it could be a Monday as well. We'll talk about some things.
Alex, when you were factoring the acquisition or considering the acquisition cost here, how much did Price's track record in the American League East and track record in this building factor into your considerations?
The AL East wasn't as much of a factor. I mean, Johnny Cueto got traded. He's great. It's nice, but his stuff and everything he's done, he's just been a consistent number one starter for a while now, and that's what ones are. I mean, we talk about our scouting reports, and the difference between a two and a one most times is the twos haven't been doing it as long, or they're not as consistent year in and year out. They have the stuff, and what makes you a one is that consistency of performance year in and year out, no volatility, all those type of things, and that's why it's so rare. That's why there's not that many of them. Not every team has got one, so that's what a guy like David brings, and then with all the other things, the other elements, I think it's going to be great for the club. So they don't come at there's certainly a cost to acquiring those guys, but that certainty and probability and track record of performance, there's something to be said for that.
Do you expect to talk to Price's representative at some point about potentially extending his stay here beyond 2015, or do you view him more as a rental?
I mean, look, I think everybody would love to have David Price in their organization long term. That's not our focus right now. And you guys know my stance on contract negotiations. If we decide to do any of them, hopefully no one knows. But I think it's safe to say I think every team in baseball would love to have this guy on their team long term. So we just got to get in the line.
Alex, you've had quite a week. Are you going to ask for a raise?
Did you see how much money we just spent?
Any further questions? All right. Thank you, Alex, and thank you all.
Worst question's always the last one. More Brady and Walker to come, of course. Alex Anthopoulos addressing the media. A couple quick thoughts on it from me there. Alex is going to join us in just a couple minutes, and we'll try and get him questions and answers that you didn't necessarily get there, although some intriguing stuff. There is no decision yet on when you'll see Alex Anthopoulos start, you won't see David Price start. Could be Sunday, could be Monday. They would probably have to get a recall on somebody, but there may be a lot of movement with this team. There may be players, who's to speculate on the Liam Hendrickses, et cetera, who may have to go down to add David Price into the mix on this team. If there's another starter acquired, is Drew Hutchison going to be out of the starting rotation? Is he going to go get work done at Buffalo? Is he going to be a long relief man? Again, I think that's the most obvious guy to fall out of the rotation. And no, Alex Anthopoulos isn't going to answer that if I ask him that. But nonetheless, it's very fair to ask if another starting pitcher or relief pitcher is on the mind at this particular point. The Blue Jays certainly have made themselves a much better team for this season. I think Alex acknowledged the inherent risk with making this particular move. I keep using the word inherent risk, and that doesn't mean it won't work out. But it's probably the most risky deal that he's ever made. It may be the most risky trade the Blue Jays have ever made. Because, again, it depends what your expectations are. There have been many midseason acquisitions. David Cone was acquired at August 27, 1992. For Jeff Kent, a gentleman who went on to play a decade and a half of unbelievable baseball, mostly in the National League, quite obviously. Borderline 20%, not a borderline Hall of Fame candidate, but a guy that was getting 20-25% on the ballot. One of every five sports writers or people with the votes thought Jeff Kent should be in the Hall of Fame. That's the risk you take. John Smoltz just went into the Hall of Fame, and he was traded for 12 or 13 Doyle Alexander starts for the 1987 Tigers, who eclipsed one of the best Blue Jays teams ever in the 1987 Blue Jays in George Bell's MVP year. No one saw Doyle being that good. No one saw John Smoltz being that great for as long as he was great. Alexander was with the Tigers more than just for 1987, but the meaningful baseball kind of dried up after 1987. Alex Anthopoulos will join us in 10 minutes. We want to get more of your thoughts on the deal. This team belongs to you in a lot of ways if you're a Blue Jays fan. You have gone through mostly downs, far fewer ups than downs. The ups have more been about player performance and special days to go and days that have nothing to do with pennant races, nothing to do with playoff positioning, and everything to do with big moments and great players and Roy Halladays and Carlos Delgados. And to a lesser extent, players like A.J. Burnett, players Vernon Wells, players that have had fantastic seasons and runs here. 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. I'm getting a little bit of, hey, be positive. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited as hell that the Blue Jays made this deal. I didn't think they could get into the market for David Price. I didn't think they could put the best bid together. And if anything, the Cueto prize, the Cueto haul was more than I thought it would be between Kansas City and Cincinnati. This one's less than I thought it would be. And that's to Alex Anthopoulos' credit. And maybe Dave Dombrowski sees things in Norris and Boyd. Norris can join the rotation immediately. In fact, he's going to start for the Tigers on Sunday. The news is just developing. He'll start on Sunday against the Baltimore Orioles. You likely will see Daniel Norris pitch here as a member of the Detroit Tigers later this month against the Toronto Blue Jays. That'll have some fun elements to it. But the deal itself and the expectations changing. Tell me about that. We can talk about the deal. Let's not talk about extensions. If you think the Jays could convince David Price to sign here, save that, and I'll save, I don't think there's much of a chance he'll re-sign here. And anyway, let's focus in on 15, not 16. Let's focus in on this season and what it does for expectations, what it does to you as a Blue Jays fan. Suddenly having season tickets or a flex pack, I'm sorry, it's a little more valuable. Because, like I said, it's one thing to go and, hey, this team's in town. Woo, that team's in town. Hey, I got tickets for opening night. I got tickets for a Roy Halladay start. Even if you were at the game last night, it was pretty exciting to see Troy Tulowitzki's first start. You're going to have a sellout on Sunday. You got a holiday game on Monday afternoon with the Minnesota Twins. Keep in mind that. So it's a daytime game, civic holiday, most people not working, no school. You'll have close to a sellout for Monday's game if David Price makes his debut then. Let's think about that. Plus, I think you get a welcome mat on Sunday and a Russell Martin bobblehead on Monday. So why, you know, the bobblehead lineups have been outrageous anyway. And it's only the Twins coming to town, but now all of a sudden we've got a real meaningful game against Minnesota. And that's a big factor right there. 416-870-0590. What constitutes a successful season now for the 15 Toronto Blue Jays? What constitutes a season that you'll be disappointed by? You got to play both sides of the fence here, okay? It's not my job to paint my face blue and white and tell you that everything's going to be great and you have a beautiful house and one of the best cars I've ever seen. That's not, I wish it was. I'm not here to make you feel good, but I feel great and excited that this year is going to be a lot more fun going to the finish line. No one denies that. It could be an absolute roller coaster of emotions. Like you look down at the Blue Jays schedule and you see games in late September, and this is what we've been waiting for, no matter how big a fan you are. This season ends with 9 at home against the Red Sox, Yankees, and Rays. It ends with 3 on the road in Baltimore. Baltimore right now is a game ahead of Toronto. Baltimore's won 5 straight. Baltimore may do nothing at the deadline. They are a little more bereft of prospects than the Blue Jays are, even now, even after every move the Blue Jays have made, even after no more Norris, no more Boyd, no more Hoffman, et cetera, et cetera. They're a little more bereft of prospects. They've gone in and pushed in and gotten players at the deadline before in 11 and 12. It worked out a little bit better in 12 than 11. But those last 3 games at Camden Yards, tell me you're a diehard Blue Jays fan. You're already looking at flights. You're already looking to see how can I go to Camden Yards on Wednesday, September 30th and see this particular team play. Even though you might be in it by 2 games by then and have clinched. Sadly, you may be out of it by 2 games and it'll be one of the most disappointing seasons. Like think about a disappointing regular season. I don't think you've gotten close enough. I don't think the Jays have gotten close enough to have had an incredibly disappointing regular season finish. 90 to me was really disappointing. Thought they had a better team than Boston that year. Boston was doing it with mirrors. Clemens that year in the rotation, yeah, sure, great, fantastic. And that was the year he got kicked out of the ALCS game against the A's. But you had guys like Dana Kicker and Tom Bolton. Remember those kind of names in 1990? You had Greenwell, Burks, you had an ancient Mike Boddicker on the hill for Boston. This would be one of the most disappointing seasons in Blue Jays history if they don't make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs now. They have to get in that wild card game, which would be, it looks like to me, Friday, October 2nd is when they'd play it. So it's a weekend wild card game now. Let's go to John in Toronto. Alex Anthopoulos is going to join us in just a little bit on Brady and Walker. Jeff Blair's got primetime sports. It'll be a packed show at 4 o'clock with lots of guests as well. Go ahead. Make your thoughts.
You know what? I've been attacking him all season. This is the greatest thing he's done, even more than the Florida trade. There is no disappointment in this season now, because at least I look at the organization and I say, man, we want to win. Last year was awful. It was one of the worst of my season because of seasons as a Jays fan, because they really didn't do anything. This is absolutely something. You cannot say that this is nothing. They got David Price and Troy Tulowitzki in 2 days?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And I think
there's no disappointment. If they finish in second one game out or five games out, I don't care anymore.
You even look back, I think, and you add, I'm trying to think of three acquisitions by any team via trade, not via free agency. Josh Donaldson, Troy Tulowitzki, and David Price all in trades, all in the span of 9 months. I don't know what to compare that to. I'm serious. I don't. I have no parameters by which to compare that to. One of the best number one starting pitchers in the sport. The best third baseman. And for right now, the best shortstop. I mean, there's windows of time for everything. Okay, Carlos Correa is going to be probably the best shortstop for the Houston Astros. At some point in time, someone will say, that's the best shortstop in Major League Baseball. Right now, I think it's Troy Tulowitzki. And Donaldson, I think, stands alone among third basemen. And if anything, now, would you rather have Correa than Tulowitzki? Yes. Yes, right now. But he's 7-8 years younger. That's a big factor. I said it yesterday. It's true. Don't buy into this contract stuff. Don't look at Troy Tulowitzki's first 5 years on the deal with the Rockies. He basically signed a five-year, $94 million deal with the Blue Jays the other day. Despite the prospects you're giving up. You don't get them for free. You don't get anything for free in a trade. These GMs aren't idiots, okay? The Marlins weren't stupid making the trade they made that involved Jose Reyes and Josh Johnson and Mark Burley. They weren't stupid. It was a very much an about-face for the organization. Billy Beane wasn't stupid trading Josh Donaldson. Do I know why he did it? No. And Dave Dombrowski's not stupid today making this deal. Not by a long shot. Leo in Toronto. Alex Anthopoulos in just a little bit on Brady and Walker. Go ahead, Leo.
Yes, hi. I just want to say I think Alex has done an amazing job. I'm shocked and awe. As soon as I heard the signing, I drove right down to the Rogers Center. I was able to grab tickets right behind home plate for Sunday and Monday, not knowing when he'll pitch.
Mm. Yeah. How do expectations change for you for the season now? What would be a successful season? It's not just playing some fun games in September now, is it?
No. I think we need to get at least one round in, and I'd be happy with that. I think that once they're in, they'll be fine. But just to get that one round, I would be happy and call it successful.
All right. Thanks, Leo. Appreciate it. Good job driving down there and getting tickets right away. Adam in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Brady and Walker. Go ahead, Adam.
I love the trade. What would be a success for me is meaningful baseball in the last, 5 to 10 games. You know, some of my earliest vivid baseball memories are 91, 92, and I remember 93 like it was yesterday. And I'm just dying for meaningful baseball. And whether or not they make the playoffs, as long as down to the last few games, it's exciting and I'm stressed and at the edge of my seat, that would be a success for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to feel that way. We didn't get it last year. We got halfway there, I felt like, by around September 10th. And then the air was out of the balloon before Labor Day. And then the Jays did start piling up some wins. It gave you pause for thought. It gave you thought for credit that the Blue Jays could keep stringing those wins together. The playoffs felt over the night Miguel Cabrera got hurt and they lost that Saturday night game. It's just one of those nights. I felt like John Gibbons was managing like it was an all-star game. He brought Kendall Graveman in to pitch to one batter. He had Sanchez come in. There were a couple base running snafus for the Blue Jays. I know, right? And then they couldn't follow it up with a win on the Sunday either. That was the Friday night game they lost, where they lost Cabrera, and then they lost Saturday night as well. They were up a game and a half. I forgot this. Thanks to a listener for sending me in the direct link. They were up a game and a half on September 25th at 84-71 with seven games left on the Boston Red Sox in 1990. They lost five of their last seven. We know they lost their last seven in 1987. Not trying to dredge up some ugly ghosts here. The point is, you people have been patient, and you've been very tolerant. There's a lot of things. I've been on the radio 8 years in Toronto, the previous nine in Detroit. And what I've never done is chastise you for not going to the ballpark. Other hosts have. It's really, it's easy to fill time. You don't have to prep as hard, and you just go, hey, is this a real baseball town? There were 18,000 people there on April 20th against the Twins. Yes. Obviously. Yeah, of course. You got to give people reason to go. You got to give people reason to believe, reason to hope. It's like anything else. You know what television needs? Not just diehard fans of something, but then they need to draw other people as well. That's how it works. Jeff, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, good day. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Absolutely love it. I want to give kudos, obviously, to AA. He should be now considered for GM of the year. the actual baseball trades and picking up price phenomenal moves. And I believe that instead of us just talking about simply about the wild card, we play the Yankees 13 more times. We play teams within the division where we've shown we can beat those teams. And now with the addition, and I don't think he's done. One more bullpen guy, perhaps, and something. And I think that we're going to do very well. Very excited, and I love your show and love your tape.
Thanks a lot.
So excited.
I appreciate it. The Yankees need to go 30-29 to win 90 games. They need to go 33-29 gets them to 90 wins. The Blue Jays have to go 39-21. They have to play 18 games over 500 to get to 90 wins. It's not going to be easy. This gives them a better chance to do it today. We welcome in the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos, on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 360. Great to have you so soon after the news conference, Alex. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to be on.
You talked about the timeline of this particular deal. How closely were you watching the Tigers? I'll ask this. How closely were media reports factor in? You've got all the numbers. You've got all the contacts. But there was a lot of back and forth with people saying they've got to make a decision. They're the team in the American League that has to decide sort of if they're in or out, if they're buyers or sellers. You must have been watching that drama pretty closely.
Yeah, I mean, you follow the media reports, but I would never really call someone over and over again based on media reports. I called Dave Dombrowski once last week just to check in on the availability of Price. And you know, even though there was different things being written and talked about, I just asked him if he ever decided to make a move, if he can follow up with me, and he assured me that he would. And that's all I needed. I mean, he's been doing this a lot longer than I have. He's a complete pro. And no matter what was being said in the media, I was going to take his word for it. And when and if the time presented itself, he was going to call. And he ultimately did. But do you follow what Detroit was doing at the time, what the other clubs were doing? The White Sox were playing well. Sure. I mean, we do that across because, you know, the landscape can change, whether, you know, how players are playing, how teams are playing. So you're just doing your job, staying on top of those things.
Difficult. It's tricky, too, isn't it? Dave would relate to your position, Alex. Midseason, he's gone and bought, if you will, traded for Doug Fister. He's gone and bought, traded for Anibal Sanchez. He's on the other side of the fence this time. That makes him be able to relate to you. At the same time, he wants to restock the farm base. He knows what you're looking for, but you know his perspective as well.
No doubt. And if you look at Dave's career, I mean, he's won a World Series. What he's done in Detroit when he got there and where they were as a franchise with the losses and the way he turned it around, and they became a marquee destination for a lot of big free agents and consistently winning a ton of divisions, changing managers, still winning. And making some unbelievable trades, Hall of Famers like Miguel Cabrera and some of those starters that he brought in, another World Series appearance with Detroit. I mean, you can't. There's a reason he's been a GM over 20 years. You don't last that long without a lot of success. So, you know, you have all the respect in the world for Dave, and his track record speaks for itself.
Are there GMs easier to make trades with? And is he one of them? Again, difficult negotiator. You are the same. Travis Fergus, you make that in the offseason. Is it easier to call a guy that you say, well, I just made a deal with him, and I liked how it worked out. He treated me the right way. I treated him the right way. Do you have that sort of, not a pecking order per se, because if you want the player, you want the player.
Yeah, I think one is everyone's, look, you're dealing just like any line of work. I have 29 different people. It's imperative that I maintain relationships with. Whether you're happy, not happy, it's not about pride. It's not about emotions. I mean, deals can fall apart when emotions get involved. So you really try to check your ego at the door. But it's imperative. I mean, those relationships are very, very critical, and obviously with the agents as well, they're extremely important. So from Dave's standpoint, like I said, he's been doing it a long time. So over the years, I've learned his negotiating style, and I think that's a big part of it, is knowing who you're dealing with and how they react and how they do things. And I think that just takes time. So I know when one person says no, it may not be the same way as when somebody else says no. So that's just knowing who you're negotiating with. And I think anyone would tell you that in any walk of life. But Dave's very straight, very to the point, and he will get a deal done.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos, our guest, Brady and Walker. You guys were 60-50 last year at the deadline. You mentioned there may not have been a fit for David Price with basically a year and a half or so of control. There's more urgency with this team now. Can you pinpoint or put a finger on why there is more of a sense of urgency for a 51-51 team than there would have been for a 60-50 team?
Yeah, and I know the one loss record gets talked about. I think it's similar. You look at Detroit and where the Royals are in terms of their win total for the division, and you look at obviously the Yankees in our division. It's not the same when you're trying to win the division. I just take a look at where you are relative to a playoff spot. So we're two out of a wild card spot. We could be 20 games over 500 and be two out. We're two out. And the St. Louis Cardinals years ago got in the playoffs with 83 wins and won the World Series. So I don't expect that to happen very often, and it did. But we just look at where are we relative to getting into the playoffs. Wherever the win total ends up, it's really irrelevant. We just want to get in.
Yeah, meaning the right number. Is there a stress point with as a guy that loves the farm system? You've done a lot of different jobs in baseball, but the draft is fun. Gauging prospects are fun. Going scouting is still fun, I think, for you. When you have to give up Hoffman, Boyd, Norris all in 1 week, do you cringe a little bit, or do you say, I know how this works, and this is just the price we have to pay here?
You cringe a ton, and like you said, you talked about it. It's I love scouting. I love going out and seeing players. I love the draft. It's what I started in. It's really, I don't think it ever gets old for me, though. I'd probably get more excited when I go see a high school or college game than doing anything else. But, and that being said, you draft these guys, you develop these guys, your staff in the minor leagues get attached to them, you get to know them. But again, we're not going to get guys like David Price for free. We're not going to get Troy Tulowitzki for free. And our CEO, Paul Beeson, talks about it all the time. The 25 guys in the clubhouse, the 25 guys on that field, they drive the entire organization. And no one pays to go watch guys in Dunedin, New Hampshire. I mean, everyone comes to the ballpark for those 25 guys. And it's tough to balance because you know you need to manage the long term as well. And that's probably the most challenging part of being a GM.
Yeah, this question always gets directed. I'm glad you brought Paul up. This question always gets directed to him. I'd love to get your vibe on it. You were 16 the last time the Blue Jays played a playoff game. You're a new driver, or maybe you had your beginners. I don't know. Either way. But it's we all wonder what it'll feel like. Those of us who haven't seen a Blue Jays home playoff game in person, or even an unbelievably important late September game. Do you allow yourself now, maybe more than ever, even more than after the Marlins trade or getting Dickey, do you allow yourself to sort of visualize that and what it'll feel like? We all forecast how being a parent will feel or getting married will feel. Can you do that professionally and gun ahead 7-8 weeks like that?
You know what? I mean, I guess you could. I just don't know that when you're in these jobs that you can think that way. You're just, it's hard to explain, but I guess not by design, but it just, I think it happens, and the more you talk to other general managers in other sports, you're so programmed to worry about everything. And I even joke sometimes when you're trying to explain, biggest part of your job as a GM, no one ever comes up to you and says, I have great news today, you won't believe what happened. Any conversation you have with any employee is you're putting out a fire. It's always bad news. And even I even saw a trainer, I joke with him, and he's sending me an email, just put the title, bad news or good news, like if we're waiting on an MRI, things like that, because I'm just trying to prepare myself, because 9 times out of 10, you're there. There's an issue. There's a problem. If it's coming across your desk because the other directors or departments need your approval or sign off, something's wrong. So you're just programmed to always worry and get things resolved and stay ahead of things rather than sit back and enjoy anything.
Before we let you go, and we appreciate the time greatly, if this is your starting rotation, describe the, and this is where we go for the last 2 months of the season, describe your pleasure level, I suppose, with it, compared to 24 hours ago. If you're moving forward with Price, Burley, Dickey, Hutchison, Estrada, how do we feel about it?
I feel a lot better than we did before we got Price. I guess that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Price is a huge piece. Again, it's only going to be a certain amount of starts. And the other component is you can say, well, it may just be a one-game wild card. Well, both the Giants and the Royals were in that one-game wild card, and they got to the World Series. And if you can get past the one-game wild card, assuming you get there, and look, we want to win the division as well. Mm-hmm. Once you get into a short series, those one starters and those three-man rotations, they're huge for you. You see what a guy like Bumgarner did, he can really carry you. So you just want to get in and give yourself a chance and go from there.
Alex, great pleasure having you on. Such a fun time to continue the homestand. Good luck against the Royals tonight.
All right, guys, really enjoyed it.
There's Alex Anthopoulos joining us on Brady and Walker. We bring in Ben Ennis, who often you'll hear him on weekends, of course, and you'll hear him often filling in for Mike Wilner when Mike's just had too much on Jay's Talking to Some on SportsNet 360
right.
with the updates.
I was on this
today.
Morning, too.
That's
you were
right,
up?
Yeah. No, I was.
Whatever, man.
It was the kids had a sleepover somewhere, so I thought, why not sleep in till 8:05?
I just want to make Walker even more angry.
Why? Why would he be angry? He's on, you know, a staycation. Good a staycation is?
You know, he's a sports nerd.
I don't even think it's a paid staycation.
I think he's
paying to stay.
That's right.
Away. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. It's funny, you love your prospects. You love the talk about it. And like I said, Alex is a bit of like the equivalent of a gym rat or a guy like that about prospects. It's a real, like I said, inherent risk trading for David Price and being a 51-51 team, because this is for the now. Even if you say Tulowitzki's for the now and the next half decade to come,
yeah,
that's not what the David Price move is.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking earlier and Jeff Blair putting it at maybe 10% David Price re-signing with the Blue Jays.
It's that high to me.
I think it's like under 1%. Yeah. Well, they just broke the bank, biggest free agent contract handed out in franchise history to Russell Martin. That was $85-87 million.
So, and even with a new president, are you giving David Price $220 million for 7 years?
Right, it's more than double what already was the franchise record for dollars handed out to a free agent. So I don't see it. So yeah, it is. It's 11 starts. It's 12 starts for a guy who you expected to be an ace type pitcher for 6 years in Daniel Norris. But that's about it. I mean, the other guys. I know LeBoer was in the futures game and maybe projects as a major leaguer. We saw Boyd at the very best. He's a back of the rotation guy, a guy that throws strikes. He took a big step forward. He wasn't really even on the radar before this season.
No one would have projected him getting a couple starts in the big leagues.
It was shocking.
No.
Really. And got absolutely historically shelled in his last start out there. And Daniel Norris, I know it's very early in his career, but the bloom was a little bit off the rose there too. So I get it. I'm shocked, obviously. And this morning I said I'd be absolutely blown away if he goes after a rental. I still am. And I don't know. Where do you come down on the fact that, because I said this morning and a lot of people have said it, not the only one. The whole, if you hear it, it's not happening with Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays, because it did happen early this morning. So technically when all these rumors were bubbling early this morning in the afternoon.
Even late yesterday afternoon, it was kicking around a little bit.
So it doesn't count. So we can't say that anymore.
No, it felt like the R.A. Dickey thing was a moving part for a long time.
A little bit.
And I mentioned this at 1 o'clock. There was talk J.P. Aaron Sibbia was in the deal, and Aaron Sibbia, of course, had to tweet that I'm not in the deal.
Right.
I'm here for life, brother.
Yeah, right.
That was the other deal that sort of didn't creep up on people. I would say this. It's not a fair question to Alex Anthopoulos, and you almost would guess the answer, but I can't think of a GM who could acquire via trade Josh Donaldson, Troy Tulowitzki, and David Price, or the sum of their parts in a 9-month period. Like if they miss the playoffs, he has to throw up his hands and go, I don't know what more I can do. You may as well fire me and then drown me. I can't do anything else, I suppose, for the present day Blue Jays. He can't.
Yeah, or beat me with a pillowcase filled with doorknobs. Something. Yeah.
I mean, but
look at the last 22 years, though. There have been plenty of teams good enough to make the playoffs over the last 22 years. So, I mean, that sentiment, I think, was felt by a lot of Blue Jays fans over the last 22 years that this team has never been in the playoffs. Again, I get back to the 11 starts thing. Like, how many wins, really, is that appreciably for this team down the stretch?
Well,
how many wins more?
You are hoping to go. You're hoping to go 8-3. And if you're hoping for four extra wins, given you might have gone 4-7 with a combination of whatever it was going to be, Felix DuBront, a couple Norris starts. You're hoping for four more wins, and you're hoping that's enough to push you over the edge and either get you in as a second wild card or host.
Right.
It's funny because that's a great question to ask. Because, and Alex referenced it, and Wilner's referenced, a lot of people say, the Royals, they were 50-50 last year.
Yep.
Two other things happened last year. Oakland traded a lot to get John Lester, and before that, Jeff Samardzija. Playoff games won, zero. They hosted the wild card,
right.
They lost. Tigers traded Drew Smyly and Austin Jackson in a three-way deal to get David Price. Playoff games won, none.
Two roster players. Blue Jays gave up zero roster players for David Price. Of course, they didn't get the whole half a season last year and then full season again this year. I think it's a success, though, in Toronto if the Blue Jays get to where the Oakland A's were last year, having a lead.
If you're
late
hosting
that game
then yeah, I think that's a huge distinction to feel that much a part of it. David Price went to Detroit last year, and the Tigers were 6-5 in those 11 starts. Again,
right.
Some of it is all, as you know, with wins, it's like throw it out, but it's all, some of it's run support, some of it's how you are. He was good enough to win here, and they lost that 19-inning game on August 10th against the Blue Jays when we thought we were going to get down to position players pitching against each other in the 20th and 21st innings if it got there. So it's a really difficult thing to judge. Oakland, and think about how good Oakland was. They were winning the AL West by, 10, 11 games of the All-Star break?
Yeah,
and
they were on cruise control.
The Angels caught them, despite having Lester and Samardzija in a rotation with Sonny Gray. And when Cespedes was gone in the Boston trade, all the oomph went out of the lineup. It did.
I think Sean Davidi had a pretty good point today as well, that it does eliminate, I mean, not that you would have been real happy if Daniel Norris had to be called up to make an emergency start, and I guess if this trade doesn't go down, he's probably making that start on Sunday. But now you're down to what? Randy Wolf? That's your next guy if somebody goes down, which is not out of the question by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, your depth...
I don't know what you do. Yeah.
Your depth was already very thin. But, I mean, you got David Price, so I guess it's kind of besides the point to talk about that. But it is a thing, and it could. I mean, they're starting pitchers. They go down all the time. It happens, even if it's just one start.
It's small. By the way, Josh Donaldson will join Jeff Blair, Primetime Sports, coming up at 4 o'clock. So 10 minutes from now, you'll hear Josh Donaldson's thoughts right here on it. It's interesting because that's the first thing I thought was look at the schedule. Minnesota's here, important game starting Monday on the holiday Monday.
Yeah.
If I'm David Price, you got a day and a half to sort of digest this, adjust this. You got to get your work visa, et cetera, et cetera. He'd be ready to pitch by Sunday, but it's still on 5 days rest. And it's against the Royals. You don't need to beat the Royals. Well, so you should need more to beat the Twins. I'd let them pitch Monday afternoon in front of a packed house.
And
I don't know who's, but somebody, you got to call somebody
that's
up.
That's what I mean. I mean, are you going to start Redmond, somebody
you
on?
You need a Francis. You need sort of an... Or if there's no other starting pitcher coming, you have to get somebody in there for Sunday afternoon, I suppose.
Or you could ride. You know what you could do? You'd ride David Price like the Brewers rode CeCe Sabathia a couple of years ago. Just start him like every 3 days. Every day. You're not going to have him next year anyways.
If you were the 08 Brewers, you might have done the same the same exact thing. Are you back on mornings tomorrow? What's your story?
Yeah, no, I never leave.
Here all
Why would
you
I
should
leave?
Leave at some point. Get in 9 holes before the end of this.
Yeah, sure.
Are you going to the ball game tonight?
No, I'm going to go to sleep at some
That's
point.
A better call.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Fall asleep to the sweet strains of Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler. After the game's over, that is. Thanks for coming in, and I want to get
Thanks
your
Thanks for
thoughts.
Having me, buddy.
There's Ben Ennis joining us. Jeff Blair is in next. Primetime Sports between 4 and 7. Thanks so much for being part of things today. Thanks to all the crew as well. Very busy show with moving parts. Primetime, Josh Donaldson right out of the gate. We'll see you tomorrow at 1.